Joe Biden has signed a new guidance on nuclear weapons. The U.S. is now officially going to be expanding its nuclear arsenal. This just the day before today, when a U.S. Air Force B-52N did a simulated nuclear strike on the Kaliningrad region. On June 8th, this morning, the Intercontinental Strategic Bomber B-52N of the U.S. Air Force, capable of carrying nuclear weapons, approached the Kaliningrad region of the Russian Federation and reached a missile launch position. Experts regard the flight of a single aircraft as practicing a simulated nuclear strike on the semi-Russian exclave. Now, yesterday, of course, the Russians announced that they were going to be parking four warships, as well as a nuclear-powered, emphasis on powered, not nuclear-armed submarine, in the region of Cuba, where they're going to be doing exercises. Just the day before that, Vladimir Putin said that he is going to be looking at potentially arming nations with advanced Russian weaponry who are adversaries of the United States. Now, I want to give you guys some perspective on what has happened in the last 60 days to put this all in perspective. Maybe it might explain why I'm getting very close to being completely off grid out here. Now, Biden has increased the nuclear arsenal, or plans to. All NATO countries permit Ukraine to strike Russian territory with their weapons, and they're going to keep expanding and pushing back the goalposts further. Nuclear submarine moved to Cuba. Nuclear powered, not nuclear armed, but it's a step in that direction. Russia, of course, to arm adversarial nations. The election will make no difference, according to Vladimir Putin. Poland applies for nuclear weapons. The Baltics start digging trenches along the border with Russia. Ukraine is mining its own border on the NATO side to keep people in, to keep people from escaping. Not even dual citizens are allowed to escape anymore. NATO has a plan now to deploy 300,000 American troops in a Schengen style throughout Europe if and when they go to war with Russia, or in my personal hypothetical view, it's likely because they want to be able to have a force that can go in there after the nuclear bombs drop. Frequent cyber attacks and telecom outages in the last 60 days on many countries around the world. We have attacks on weapons manufacturing facilities inside Europe and America. We also have Polish border rapid militarization currently underway. We have the U.S. equipping Ukraine with the equipment to endure nuclear emergencies. We have a combined total in the last 60 days of around $100 billion, more than that likely, pledged to Ukraine over the next couple years. Mike Johnson completely flip-flopped on Russia, calling for strikes deep into Russian territory. Zelensky was put on a wanted list by the Russians. The Russians and Belarusians are doing tactical nuclear drills on the border. The tactical nukes are armed and ready. The UK initiated a new public awareness campaign advising their populations to prepare for SHTF, as did Latvia and recently Germany, as I broke down in a recent video. Los Angeles did a nuclear wargaming exercise, which simulated how different government bodies would coordinate if there was a nuclear strike on LA, largely missed by everybody except people who watch this channel, of course. The U.S. is committed to building a new doomsday plane. Poland is offering emergency training, emergency military training to all civilians to warm people up to the prospect of potential conscription, which is on the horizon. The U.S. is authorizing Ukraine to attack Crimea with long-range weapons. Recall that happened just a couple weeks before they had secretly deployed the ATACMS missiles there and then gave them the green light to actually attack Russia proper. Germany had plans leaked that stated their intention to destroy the Crimean bridge or help out the Ukrainians in that capacity. We had numerous diplomats and ambassadors expelled from many countries in both Russia and in Europe. Of course, we talked about the Latvia 100-page document on how to prepare for World War III, which is incredibly in-depth. We have very dire and perilous warnings from Alexander Vučić and Orbán from Hungary, who's saying that NATO is planning on going to war with Russia and there's not much time left. Ukrainian draconian mobilization continues in full swing. Of course, we had the Crocus terror attacks. We had the French instructors enter into Ukraine, and now there's going to be a coalition of instructors. That's what Macron's next goal is to have a coalition of instructors. Instructors enter into Ukraine. These are going to be more so intelligence gatherers. And of course, they don't want to bring Ukrainians into other countries to train them because they're going AWOL. That's my hypothesis on that. France has done its own nuclear test in the past couple months, not a actual live nuclear detonation, but certainly flexing its nuclear deployment systems. We had another attempted invasion into Russia from Belgorod. The Ukrainian power grid has essentially been completely destroyed. Vladimir Putin called the U.S. the enemy for the first time. We have unprecedented back-to-back Minuteman missile tests. Typically, there is but one every couple quarters, every half a year. Now they're about to do their third test within the span of a couple weeks. Their third Minuteman nuclear missile test, not armed with nuclear missiles, but this is very rare, and it's a sign that things are definitely heating up. Belarus has suspended the Treaty on Conventional Armed Forces in Europe. Of course, we had that incident where we had the Russian noticed airmen off the California coast. The U.S. banned Russian uranium. Russia loaded new Beluga nuclear launch submarines, missiles into service recently. EU and NATO leaders are all calling on their populations to prepare for war. Countries are now mulling and openly talking about bringing back conscription. Of course, we had the assassination attempt of Robert Fico. We have the U.S. voting against draft resolution for space disarmament, claims that Russia has already launched a space weapon. You remember all that space rhetoric? Yes, that is still a thing. Poland is spending billions of dollars on border defense, bunkers, trenches, and hedgehogs and camera systems, security, the whole nine yards. And now one of their soldiers has been killed by one of the immigrants on that border. Attacks on the Kharkov region and evacuations began about a month and a half ago or so. Russia is moving the border in the Baltic Sea. They just arbitrarily one day decided that we're going to be moving this border in the sea because I guess something likely provoked by what NATO is doing right now with all their exercises out there. Ukraine drones knock out 14% of Russia's oil refining capacity, and that continues to this day. In fact, I'm guessing that within the last 48 hours, there was another major one. I can't remember where it was, but it's still ongoing. The U.S. did a subcritical nuclear test in Nevada. The U.S. deployed four B-52 nuclear bombers to the U.K. Poland blamed Russia for the massive fire at their shopping mall. Just another case of what some might call terroristic activity or asymmetrical warfare. Russia gives serious consideration, I should say, to doing a demonstrative nuclear strike. Putin mobilized the government and various government departments for war economy, further consolidating power. He had that meeting where he essentially said that everybody has to act as though they're on the front lines. Recall that Ukraine just got a ASC-890 recon aircraft from Sweden. We have accusations of space-based nuclear weapons, Russians nuclear radars destroyed, a green light to shoot down Russian warplanes with U.S. weapons using Patriot missile systems. We have Russia's loss of AWACS planes. We have talks of no-fly zones, talks of troops entering Ukraine. Ukraine sent more ATACMS and Patriot systems under the radar, of course. We have the very likely transfer of F-16s already underway. We have the attacks on Russian oil refineries that I already stated. Militarization of every European country, which are outfitting their civil infrastructure, preparing hospitals for mass casualties, centralized power structures, suspended elections in Ukraine, of course, and massive stockpiling starting to take place, especially in Germany by the German government. We now also have a crackdown on alternative media in various countries, including and not limited to what happened to, was it Alex Jones recently? And there was something that happened to another big name. Who was it again? I can't quite remember, but it was some big name. I mean, pretty much anybody who is espousing libertarian views at this point in time is getting the book thrown at them. And NATO continues their training to land fighter jets on highways, preparing for nuclear war. Now, that was just scratching the surface. There was also the price of gold that spiked. There was bird flu deaths, very unexplained bird flu deaths. One, a child who apparently came back from India and had no contact with chicken. And the same thing happened also in Mexico, no contact. That means there are people out there spreading whatever it is they're getting ready to drop on us. We had the very anomalous Berkshire Hathaway crash glitch, where one of the most expensive ETFs in the world crashed like 99% for a brief period of time. We had ChatGPT-4 unveiling Sora and 4.0, which are very advanced artificial intelligence systems that many people think passed the Turing test, meaning that we're already approaching very quickly artificial general intelligence. We have GameStop 2.0 currently underway. We have the U.S. banking system increasing their debt load by $517 billion. That's just the U.S. banking system, okay? We have heat records shattered around the world, particularly in India, where the temperatures reached 53 degrees Celsius. Ocean temps continue to shatter records for several consecutive years in a row. We had the solar flare scare that everybody's already forgot about. We have record high credit card delinquencies. TikTok was banned in numerous countries, signaling the initiation of a multipolar world, and that, of course, front ran the trade war that is currently underway with China. We have the interest on the debt that is accumulating to completely unmanageable levels. The world set a new record for military spending at $2.4 trillion. Bird flu was found in milk and cows for the first time ever, and now it is essentially prevalent in those populations, it seems. Of course, in the Middle East, an Iranian president died. Most people forgot about all that already. Iran pledged full support for Hezbollah yesterday. The Iranian nuclear deal has essentially collapsed. Israel is stockpiling bunkers on the northern front in anticipation of a war with Lebanon. They have also mobilized 50,000 troops. Lebanon, or Hezbollah, I should say more specifically, was accused of lighting the fires in the northern part of Israel. Iran, of course, conducted the largest ever surface-to-surface attack in history against Israel. We have a shootdown of approximately 5 U.S. drones by the Houthis and various factions of the IRGC throughout the Iraq. We have, of course, the Rafah invasion that began today. They're storming the White House in protest. We have Egyptian clashes with Israeli forces. We had the ICC arrest warrant for Netanyahu. We have Iran getting their first deliveries of Russian fighter jets in China. Of course, remember, China was simulating that massive invasion training, or what was it? I guess blockade training. It was called Joint Sword, the largest ever training that they've ever did like that. We have shipping rates for containers doubling. We have the NVIDIA bubble still underway from Captain Taiwan. Remember where all the NVIDIA chips are made? That's in Taiwan. That's why it's so important. That's why it's propping up the U.S. economy right now. Chinese general says that the United States is the biggest contributor of global chaos. China continues to stockpile core commodities, oil, grain, precious metals, copper, and rare earths, although they allegedly have taken a break from their gold purchases in the past month. Not really sure what the reason for that is. The U.S. is starting a trade war with China, increasing tariffs on green tech. Of course, we did have the TikTok ban. The Chinese and the Russians are locking in a very strong and extensive strategic partnership, and we still continue to have the Chinese selling record amounts of U.S. treasuries. On the North Korean front, we had balloon wars, balloons full of feces flown over into South Korea. We have the reinstatement of the demilitarized zone artillery drills on behalf of the South Koreans. We had numerous salvo launches, displays of forces just on both sides of the fence. We have the U.S. and South Korea training to conduct nuclear strikes against South Korea. We, of course, have the North Koreans sending copious amounts of artillery shells and weapon systems into Russia. And all of these countries, be they North Korea, China, Russia, and Iran, are all starting to exercise a higher degree of interoperability with one another. And you had the suspension of the Korean Tension Reduction Act. Is that all that happened in the past 2 months? There's claims that Iran has already had nuclear weapons. North Korea and Iran demonstrate MLRS and rocket systems disguised as shipping containers and civilian vehicles. And again, all of these countries are starting to become more interoperable with one another. And here we are. Vladimir Putin yesterday, probably for the fourth day in a row, mentioned nuclear weapons. But this time he was at the St. Petersburg conference, so he had to alleviate some fears that nuclear Armageddon was nigh. Because, of course, if people know that nuclear Armageddon is nigh, they're not going to invest as much, right? But that wasn't his tune all week. And you can bet that he's giving these mixed messages because he's giving messages to the West and messages to the East. That's what's going on today, folks. I got to go cut down some trees, get some firewood, and fire off the shotgun a little bit. You know, this is a Beretta 1301 Tactical. Everybody was talking about how great these things are. I don't know. I mean, the stock just feels a little too plasticky for me. You know, you get out here into the country and you want like an old school steel gun, you know, something that really absorbs that recoil. But we'll give it a shot. Apparently it's got some really good reviews, semi-auto shotguns. So we're going to go and, you know, put a few down range, shoot some, maybe shoot some clay targets or something like that. But time is of the essence, my friends. And stay tuned because we have a very special guest tomorrow who's going to talk all about how to get your ass off grid while the getting is still good and doing it in a way which is not going to break the bank, which is the most important thing. Talk to you guys on the flip side.